are.
The following show is proudly made in the USA, but secretly owned by China and is motivated by oil interests in the Middle East. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Interesting clip from Eisenhower. All right, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. I welcome you. I'm glad you're here. KateDalyRadio.com. Thanks for spending your Friday with us. And we're going to be talking about a lot of foreign policy. Of course, it's Friday. We usually go there. I have a guest coming up in the last hour of the show that's going to be talking about China, and that's calling in from D.C. And then also, I have Thomas Dykes with me. If you're a longtime listener to the show, you know Thomas because he's been on the show numerous times over the course of several years. And then he left me for a while. And now he's back today, which I'm really happy about. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you.
You bet.
It's good to be back.
Well, you're a great voice, and I'm glad you're back with me today because you always have something stellar to say. So this will be a lot of fun.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Thanks, Kate.
Well, I'm going to wait for that stellar item.
Thanks. Thank you, though.
Oh, man. So happy he's here. There's a lot going on in the press about Iran. And
what?
I know. Syria's in the mix. They're in the news, too. And so I've done plenty of shows on Syria. I had a lot of guests, and I always go to people on the ground there because I always want to make sure that the story we're telling is the right one, because we all know that our media is full of propaganda. And if you haven't listened to this show, that's the truth. It is filled with propaganda. And so for some reason, when it comes to foreign policy, we seem to give that propaganda a pass in America. And we know how corrupt the media is. We know how led they are to say the things that they say. The scripts are written. We played the clips where everybody's script is the same. Yet for foreign policy, we have a hard time wrapping our brain around some truths. And I think that's one of our cognitive dissonant problems. Correct?
Absolutely.
And when Eisenhower was talking, he was talking about the education of people to make sure that they realized how that machine was going to be used, how the war machine would be used, correct? I don't know what you were thinking when you heard that clip, but it's scary to think that we're not very well educated in what the war machine is doing out there.
Right. And that was around 1960. And if anything, two things. Eisenhower should know what he's talking about, being the top, the president, and also the top general. But also, it is kind of infuriating. And I saw this with Hoover. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book as well at the end of his career. But these guys go through their entire career, and they give us a window into just the machine, the military-industrial complex. But they're a big part of it, too. Then they get to the end of the career, and they say, oh, this is really bad. And this is why. And you're like, well, wait a minute. You didn't speak out 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you went and were a leader in all these wars. And so it's like, I have mixed feelings about him. When he talks about it, it's like, yeah, it's legit, but also you're a huge part of it. So I don't know how you overcome this, because Americans are very patriotic, and I love us for that.
Right.
I mean, we're like Romans. We have this love of our empire, and so did Romans. But at the same time, that love can be manipulated, just like we've talked about with so many feelings we have.
Right.
When, you know, unscrupulous individuals know, like we talked about Kissinger in the past and others, when they know we have this natural affection for our community and our country and our family and our religion, they'll manipulate it because they can. And that's Lucifer's plan, not to get religious, but when you're talking life and limb in foreign countries and the impact our nation and our military force has on those countries, you have to get it right. You have to call on a higher power beyond the Joint Chiefs of Staff to inform your opinion.
What, they're not?
Yeah. Oh, it's you really so have true. To turn to God to get guidance on foreign policy because, I mean, why don't we get on our knees as a nation and pray about whether we're hearing the truth and whether or not we should go send people into harm's way and invade other countries? Because we do.
Right.
No one would. Yeah, I'm a veteran. We do invade other countries. We say it's for defense.
Right. And I want to say that again. You are a veteran.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of veterans that feel this way. And they do for a reason. I think people need to listen to them.
Oh, they suffer. PTSD. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know about that. And we've all experienced it to some extent through trauma in our own lives. But veterans, they have a special kind of trauma they deal with. And so you do find a lot of veterans. Well, there's a lot that commit suicide every day. Mm-hmm. Veterans kill themselves because of the horrors of what they experience, mental and personality disorders. And so we have to take foreign policy the most seriously on a national schedule or a national stage because people die.
Yeah. It always makes me cringe that if you were to ask people right now on the street, you did one of those street things with a microphone. If you were to ask them, are we at war? They would say, no, we're not at war. But we have lots of wars going on, and we have lots of what they call military action, so they reduce the impact of what war means, and then they say that it's totally okay. Now, a lot of conservatives feel like any military action is okay. As if our government approves it, then we must be in the right, and that we must go out and do what we're doing because we're in the right and we see a threat. We just don't know what that is because it's national security and that we should be doing everything that we're doing because we'll never make the wrong decision or do it for the wrong reason. Now,
That's where conservatives go wrong. Criticize the government.
Yes, this is where conservatives go wrong, and so this is why I'm really adamant about this on the show and talking about it is because we were sold such a box of rocks on that in thinking, and maybe our movies kind of did a number on us that no matter what we do, it's okay. So I've had a lot of guests. One of the great moments on the show was having that guest that lived in Iraq during the Iraq War. And she said, you know, it was the it was a certain group of people that were coming in that Saddam Hussein was gassing because they were trying to take over the territory and claim it as their own. Right. The Kurds at the time. Mm. And she said he wasn't gassing all of his people. But you guys were told in America that he was. And she goes and we didn't realize that for a very long time. We didn't realize what you guys were being told in America.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So. And he was gassing them because they were coming in kind of implanting themselves and saying, we now own this territory. It's no longer Iraq. So a country does have a right to defend itself and its sovereignty, right? So that's what she was saying. And she was saying, you guys were sold such a box of rocks in your media that it's hard to even bring it up anymore because people in America, she said, are so solidified on these very things. Saddam gassed all of his people. That's why we went in and bombed the country. Because we all know by now it had nothing to do with 9/11. We wanted that country. We wrote in the PNAC, those guys wrote in the PNAC, agreement that they wanted to go in and take Iraq. And so there was an interesting document that came out called the Support to Resistance Strategic Purpose and Effectiveness. And this was basically how to perform a coup. Now, it's interesting that Eisenhower came up. Yeah. Yeah.
CIA does that?
Yeah. It's interesting that this came up because I was just talking about the Bay of Pigs with my son. And Eisenhower gave $13 million to overthrow Castro. So so when we're looking at coups being performed and we're looking at the way in which we do this, why aren't we more up on the fact that we actually have Coup University? Right there in Virginia, where we actually instruct how to do this and do it the way that we want it done. There's something so wrong with this, and we're not understanding as a people that we don't always make the best decision, and it doesn't always represent American ideals, because there are so many people profiting off this. And I know that if you've listened to the show, I'm preaching to the choir, and you're going, yeah, we've heard this. But there's a lot of new people that listen to the show all the time. And that's why I state this very plainly, because this is where the neocon division of conservatives is totally wrong and off the mark. And Roger Stone was talking about the neocon base yesterday on the show. That neocon base doesn't dive into the reasons we're in all these other countries. They only think that we're going to do right by everybody because we're America. We have to be so much better deep thinkers than that. There's clearly a history of us doing this, and there's a history of empire building that we have to look at, and we have to have a kind of a come to Jesus moment on this and let ourselves understand where we're at. in this country in doing this, because with what's going on in Iran, you might be feeding into the headlines right now, but I think there's more to it.
Well, the movie 1984 in the book talks about the constant propaganda between the general forces. So you have the West versus the East. You have the Middle East, and then you have the West. And so it's really dumbed down. And as a people, you're not part of the apparatus, but you sure have an opinion on Middle Eastern conflict. And it's like, why? What does the Middle East, what does that actually impact your life? Except maybe at the gas pump.
Yeah.
But you really have no role over there, but yet you've got a strong opinion. And it's like, that's why I always say, we don't know what's propaganda. We don't know what's programming. And you look at the 1950s in Iran. Ever since then, Iran's been the big devil, and we need to be afraid of them. But then you get that guest from Iraq who says, well, this is what we were told, and we didn't know
you were
being told
this. Yeah.
Like the Muslim world, Islam has some serious issues in its theology, but we have to think. They also have corrupt leaders and schemers that lead them. Look at the Saudi Arabian regime. It's like, they're just as misled as we are, and we think we're so advanced because we have freedom, quote unquote.
Right.
But we are propagandized. So that's why I always say, look, before you support a party or a platform or a policy in the outside the country, go to your maker and pray for guidance. Because I think at the beginning of the show, I said, we have a real problem in America. It's a lack of curiosity.
Yeah.
If someone questions our orthodoxy and our beliefs, we don't question, well, what's their agenda? What's their truth? Like, what's real here? We'll go to the source of truth and maybe get an impression, some guidance on whether or not your Joint Chiefs of Staffs, the Pentagon, they're trying to foment discord, because $700 billion is a year is a lot of money. If your company exists like Blackwater and these others, you need that constant fear and a new uprising. We're in supposedly three wars right now. Well, how are you going to perpetuate billions every year? You need new conflict. It's just mathematically, you need new conflict all the time.
Yeah.
And you need patriotic Americans to support you, because they vote for the leaders that make those policies. Yeah. I'm running on, but the point is, you don't know what's real and you don't know what is untrue. So go to the source of truth and get some guidance.
I agree.
Was that a tangent?
Soapbox. I love the soapbox personally, because I think one of the hardest things for me personally, because I was probably more of your neocon. I just sort of had faith and believed that we were always going to stand for what was right and that we weren't going to do anything that was wrong in those decisions. And maybe I bought into the movies a little too much that I watched. It was a tough course for me to really invest my time into research and understand what we were doing. And so if it's hard for me, and I'm doing this every day at 8 hours a day, you can only imagine how hard it is for some people to even hear what we're saying right now, because it goes against, I don't want to hear it. It goes against everything that they want to believe. Just because we want to believe something doesn't make it true.
Top Gun is where this
all
started.
There you go, Top Gun. I know I dated Tom Cruise's body double back in college. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Listening to the Kate Daly Show on a Friday, which happens to be my favorite day of the week, so welcome. KateDalyRadio.com to get the podcast of the show, and I've got Thomas Dykes with me, a longtime co-host of the show, who is back this Friday with me, and I'm really happy that you're back guest hosting. This is awesome.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, I always like his point of view. I like arguing with him. I like his point of view. I mean, it's just fun. Thomas is fun. And I would say you're probably a little bit more, libertarian than I am.
Actually, I'm kind of coming away from that.
Are you?
A little bit. Yeah, because the free markets and stuff, we were talking about shadow banking and I'm like, I don't know if libertarianism is possible financially because of the way people are.
Yeah, and what we've landed in at this period of time in 2019.
So I would say I'm more realistic than I used to be, and I'm a little more pragmatic than I used to be, because I used to be so hardcore principle.
Right.
And we're all gray. We're not black and white. So I'm trying to be more like meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
I agree.
And then you start to think, well, who are you?
Right.
No, I don't know what I am.
I don't know what I am.
I'm a child of God.
Identity crisis.
Child of God.
A child of God. You know, it's interesting. On this show, I brought up a lot about how I feel about foreign policy and why. And I've had a lot of guests to back that up. And so there's a reason I feel the way I do after all the research I've done. Yet a lot of conservative shows won't go where we go.
No.
Because they're afraid they're going to lose you, the audience. Like, you don't have the capacity to understand what we're really doing, rather than they really like the low-hanging fruit. Everybody's out to get us, and every decision we make's okay. I see that a lot in how conservative shows approach foreign policy. And that if you're against what we're doing, then you must be a liberal. So I get that too. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm a constitutional conservative, and I feel like it does not, what we're doing right now, what we've so-called quote unquote progressed into, as the liberal progressives put it, is not where we're supposed to be. When it comes to war, when it comes to the war machine. And there's a reason, like you said something so brilliant, Thomas, and that was, they have to have conflict. They don't have conflict, you don't get a budget, you don't get to go to war, you don't get to do these things. And we have to call ourselves on this now. We put our heads in the sand way too long, thinking that we were always making the right decision. And I think that when talk radio won't go here on the conservative side, I always think they're doing a number on the people, because if we don't understand this, we have huge problems. And I think people can look through their cognitive dissonance to figure this one out. And that's why we go here a lot on the show. Not because I'm a liberal. Oh my gosh, if right. I'm ever called a liberal, please, somebody shoot me. Gosh. That's the last thing I want to ever be in my life. And that's not, yeah.
Ugh. Well, Teddy Roosevelt, he was kind of a warmonger, but mm-hmm. he actually picked up a weapon and went and fought in a war, injured. It's like, I can respect people like that, like people who serve in the military, mm-hmm. like I did as a veteran. Mm-hmm. The families that support the mm-hmm. policies, like, I can respect them a lot more because they're expressing logos or that capacity to live with order, to defend mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. But when you look at, and I could name names in this media game where it's like they advocate for war nonstop, mm-hmm. people in power, but they never fought.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about John Bolton. He got out of Vietnam because he got in the National Guard. But he's always advocated for war.
Uh-huh.
But his butt's not on the line, but my neighbor or my family member, they are. And so it's like, I can at least have a conversation and respect you, but I don't respect people who advocate nonstop. Like in the Pentagon, there's plenty of just mm-hmm. career people in there that say, well, if we move this chess piece in Yemen and we move this around in Syria, and if we sanction these people and
we have the authority or the power, you know, or should we have the power to do that?
How's that constitutional or moral? It's like, mm-hmm. there's a reason there's the words offense and defense. Defense is you defend your own turf.
Right, right.
But a Christian's never going to, if they really pray to God and they research this, they're mm-hmm. never going to say, yeah, let's go all over the world and put a base here and a there and mm-hmm. everywhere and let's invade here so we can stave off this. Let's call it preemptive
all
defense.
On the notion that we're afraid at some point, someday, they're going to come get us.
Yeah, because that's fear-based right? living. And who's the source of fear-based living? Mm-hmm. It ain't God.
Right. That's true. That's true. In fact, keep in mind that Iran has not done anything to us, okay? And then keep this headline in mind, because this was on the Daily Mail. We are on the cusp of a full-scale confrontation with the enemy. Iranian general issues a stark warning as U.S. pulls all non-essential staff out of Iraq amid worsening crisis. And then it goes on to say, comes after U.S. said it detected threats from Iran and proxy forces in region. U.K. Embassy staff are operating as normal with no plans to withdraw. Relations between Tehran and U.S. have drastically deteriorated in recent days.
You mean recent decades?
Yeah, recent decades.
This has
decades.
Been the story for 50,
for
60 years.
Yes. And so keep in mind that when they're saying this, they have not attacked us on our turf. They have not come over here. And this is all preemptive. This is all, well, relationships have deteriorated. Okay, that's not a cause for war. We're going to suffer greatly. They've enraged Washington. These are not reasons. You can't look at this as a normal person that thinks clearly and say that that is a reason. You can't.
Well, we've sanctioned the heck out of Iran over the years, but we've also given them tons of money. When I say we, the government, and Syria, and Iraq, and Egypt, and Yemen, and Saudi Arabia. And, like, we're supporting some of the Yemenis people, but not the Houthi or whatever they call themselves, through Saudi Arabia. And it's like, why don't you just cut off the aid to everyone? And then, like, Israel can defend themselves. I support them being a country, but then their neighbors, like, they would have to literally defend themselves instead of having us send them all of these resources. But that's to all of their neighbors, too. Like, I'm against aid for any of these, because what it does is it's like, well, who's in charge of our government this term? Well, then they're going to support these forces versus a decade ago. And we, the U.S. government, destabilized Iran back in the 50s, and people don't forget that stuff.
I know.
In the 70s, they took all those hostages on that plane in 1979, and it's like, people don't forget when your government comes into their country and destabilizes and removes leaders and puts in their own dictators. It's like, that's why so much anger is directed at the U.S. In fact, you talked about that guest being from Iraq. When I was over, I went to the Middle East once, and I was in Jordan doing some touring. We had a Muslim tour guide, and he was ripping on me because U.S. hadn't signed the Kyoto Protocol, you know, pollution and global warming and all that. And I'm like, thinking as an American, but do you know how much money will come out of our pockets to subsidize your country because we have more pollution? It's like we're always being told this and that by our governments. But when we celebrate Independence Day every year, we're celebrating the fact that these people threw off their own government, and they realized that their own government was their biggest threat to their liberty. Our government is the biggest threat to our freedom and liberty, period.
Around the globe and inside the country.
Yeah, so they're where we need to solve it.
I agree. I agree. And truly, when you were just saying that too, I was thinking, you know, we're looking at all of these things. We have Bolton, who would love a war over there. Pompeo would love a war over there, because this means a lot of money, and so they try to do this to Syria, and they've obviously had a list of countries they've been trying to do this to, and we're all in the know on that by now, I would imagine. So systematically going after these countries. There was a piece that said actually Trump didn't want to go to war with Iran. He actually wants to make more deals with these countries, but that the people he's hired truly do want these types of things. So he is responsible for the hire. He is responsible for hiring the people he's hiring. And that's true. You can't negate that. Does he know enough about it? There are a lot of people on the ground that think he does not know enough about foreign policy. But I'll tell you,
I think he does know a ton more now than he did 2 years ago.
I do too. I do too. And so why in the world are we even talking in these terms? The terms I just listed in the major headlines today. They've been doing this. Netanyahu got back in power in Israel, and this is a fight between Israel and Iran, and we're inserting ourselves in this, and so we always say, well, then if we don't have justification, we blame it on helping a friend.
Allies.
I think allies. And I think this is kind of telling. Back in 1975, Kissinger had a conversation with Bouteflika, which is the president of, I think it was Armenia. And at the time, he was the UN, he was over the UN. And so they were having a conversation. And this is Kissinger. Now listen to what he has to say. This is 1975. This came out in WikiLeaks. Thank you, Assange. Let's talk about the Middle East. I explained very frequently my thinking when we met in New York. We are in a paradoxical situation. Public opinion in America is more ready to do something than ever before. See how we're basing this on the American public's opinion? Anyway, he goes on. This is Kissinger, 1975. But we have a period of about 9 months when we can't do everything. The attempt of the Israelis is to create maximum commotion in the Middle East. They think we can't do much to them. That is why they bombed in Lebanon. You saw the Herald Tribune, a report that we asked them to check with us. This isn't what we asked. We said we wouldn't be responsible for the actions they took without consulting with us. This is very different. And we protested their settlements on the Golan. It goes on where Bouteflika says there is a danger to the policy of America, even in that expression. And Kissinger said, what do you mean? And he said, well, in the implication which can be drawn that all previous Israeli actions have been with the American I can't even understand that word. Anyway, he said, no, we have, with American influence, we have never known, they never tell us ahead of time, but that is not my major point. My major point is they are deliberately provocative now. They've established settlements. They'll announce they will never give up more than 200 meters of territory, which is an insult to Syria because it is Syrian territory. When Perez comes to America, the F-15 we promised a year and a half ago, but there's a delay because of the delivery and the reassessment. Then he announced, this is still Kissinger talking, then he announced it was a new thing as a response to the Syrian MiG-25s. He did it to provoke the Arabs. It was a lie. In the Congress, their supporters are willing or are putting in one amendment after another, directed mostly against Saudi Arabia. Why? They want a crisis this year rather than the next. They want to divide the Arabs from the U.S. so that next year, when we have the freedom of movement, they can say, why do anything for these madmen? It goes on and on and on. And I'm not joking about
sure
this.
Does.
We can go back to 1975 and know exactly what's going on here. And we better start really looking at this with clear goggles, because we have been just lambasted with this propaganda in our country to believe something going on. Just like in the articles, the articles are kind of truthful. They can't say that we're defending our country. They can only say tensions are rising, relationships are not very good. I mean, these are not reasons for war, for Pete's sakes.
Sure, and I can have a discussion with someone who supports a border wall, because
mm-hmm.
I see both sides. I see all sides of that argument, but that's mm-hmm. defending your homeland.
Your sovereignty of your nation.
That's an actual defense of where you live. But mm-hmm. but these engagements for decades across the sea, it's like, no, I don't feel like God, I feel God blesses soldiers in their individual situations and when they are being killed or hurt. Like, it's always an individual thing at the end of the day, what your belief is and the best mm-hmm. that you try to follow it. But when it comes to nation states, God will punish those states in this life. They're not mm-hmm. going to stand accountable in the next life. So for me, it's like John Bolton is just our modern day Kissinger. It's war, mm-hmm. war, war,
yep.
war.
And, not to justify it.
And you'll get called anti-Semitic if you say, hey, Israel has the right to exist, but I don't, constitutionally, that's not right to give them money. Well, that applies to everybody across the board.
Yeah.
So it's just a principled thing.
I'm with guest host Thomas Dykes today. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
When you need a...
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
That's an old tune, isn't it? Edwin Starr. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. This is kind of turning foreign policy on its head a little bit. I was just reading from a document that WikiLeaks actually put out. The document is well researched now and true. Kissinger had a discussion with basically the head of the UN back in 1975, who then became and is now just recently the ousted president of Algeria, which is kind of interesting. Anyway. He was in office forever, 20 years. But this was their conversation. And I just wanted to mention one more thing that Kissinger said, because we were just talking on the break. I have Thomas Dykes with me, if you're just joining us. And you could actually talk about this in today's context of where we're at. Nothing has much changed from 1975.
No.
Check this out. This is what Kissinger was telling Bouteflika, okay? They want to, in Congress, their supporters are putting in one amendment after the other, directed mostly against Saudi Arabia. Why? They want a crisis this year rather than the next. They want to divide the Arabs from the U.S. so that next year, when we have the freedom of movement, that they can say, why do anything for these madmen? They want to go back to 1967-63 period, where they were our only friend in the Middle East. This is Kissinger, 1975. They now know, they know time is running out. They can't get $2 billion a year for many more years, and they know they can't get deliveries on what is voted this year until 1978, because this was 1975. We have all the means of pressure in our hands. This is why they were trying to undermine my authority, but that isn't the main thing. It goes on to say, the main thing I want to say is the Arabs should show restraint for a year. A war wouldn't be so bad for us. We could show we are tough. The main thing is to make what little progress is possible this year and work for next year. And I say this as a friend. And Boda Flicka goes, we are grateful. Let me just say that again. A war wouldn't be so bad for us. We could show we are tough. The main thing is to make what little progress is possible this year and work for next year. I would hope that after hearing that, you feel manipulated. Because they come back to tell us that people are being harmed, so we must go in to save them, right?
Sure.
And we must arm their... it's kind of like me describing the Cuba conflict to my kid, too. And I was describing, you know, what that was all about.
The
it was
Bay
all
of
about
pigs
yes,
and all
it
that.
Was all about money. It was all about trade. It was all about oil and Cuba's relationship with Russia. And here Kissinger is talking, and he's saying basically, who has been in our been behind in the shadows and forward since when? 60s?
Yeah.
Right?
They even have a Kissinger doctrine, they
yes.
call it.
Yes. And this is how he thinks of it. Oh, well, public opinion would probably be good right now if you wanted to go in. And by the way, a main thing is, you know, a war wouldn't be so bad for us. Does this, I'm sorry, where in this do you see that we're defending our turf? Nowhere in this document will you read those words. So this is why we have such a cognitive dissonance problem in America with our foreign policy.
Absolutely. Well, that song you started the segment with was war, what is it good for? But to me, I always look at war, who is it good for? And it is good for some people. Like mm-hmm. every major conflict for the last 200 years, it's like there are people who profit off war. If you're in power, you can play both sides of the field. When Napoleon mm-hmm. fought England, it was like they're being financed by the same people. So the point is, you have to look deeper at these things. And really, as I said in last hour, you've got to pray to God for guidance on foreign policy, because that's the only source you can trust.
Right, because the media is doing a number on this.
They always do. It's the wag the dog mm-hmm. syndrome, where it's like, well, the media is tied to the government, and they all get money mm-hmm. based on yeah. human labor, which is us. Yeah. We're the beehive,
right.
And they're out there pontificating and programming mm-hmm. us. And so it's like we just, like the term Judeo-Christian, so many of us Christians have mixed our religious view with the political view on Israel mm-hmm. and the Middle East.
With the governmental view.
Why would you do that? We have a constitution which is supposed to limit what the federal government does, and it's supposed to create only justified self-defensive wars, which are declared mm-hmm. by a president. Well, of course, Congress has changed that with the War Powers Act and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we've been programmed at least 70, 80 years about Israel and about the Middle East, and it's like now there are companies that literally make billions of dollars off our fear mm-hmm. and our willingness to enlist in the military, and I did that. Why do we have a National Guard? That was never part of it. We're supposed yeah. to have militias that were the states.
Right.
But now it's like, no, we have a national part-time military force and a full-time military force. Well, really, the military is supposed to be disbanded after a couple of years. That's mm-hmm. the way it was supposed to work on the federal level, and it was supposed to be a conglomeration of states, mm-hmm. militias, which were properly trained. Well, no, now we're this in fact, I see it in the military advertising on our billboards and on mm-hmm. TV. We're a force for good in the world. And it's like, that's not what military is supposed to be for. It's for self-defense.
It's for self-defense.
If it's constitutional and justified yeah. and moral, it's like, yeah, you defend mm-hmm. your community and your nation.
Very true.
But you don't listen to Kissinger's.
Yeah. I always find it strange when we can't separate Israel for the government and political views that they have, and also the religion or the people. So I can do that with every other country, but I'm not allowed to do that with Israel. I'm not allowed. I guess we're all supposed to believe that the Mossad, their CIA, is just working, doing amazing things, right? They're never corrupt. The government's never corrupt. It never wants corrupt things. So for some reason, our cognitive dissonance here in the USA is Israel's always making the right move and hands off, and you're not allowed to say anything or you're anti-Semitic. But you're never allowed to question. But everybody else has corrupt people in their government, except for them. That there's no way that could be.
Or religion.
It's not logical. And is the mixing of religion too much with the government to the point that you cannot separate them and you can't call anyone out? So that's a huge problem and disconnect that I think a lot of people are going to start facing. And it isn't to say that you are demeaning Israel. It's to say, can you separate them? Can you separate them and have an honest dialogue about it? Or are we just to the point now where it's like free speech annihilated? You can't say anything ever because everything they do is the right move. That's like saying everything we do is the right move.
Absolutely. And if you proclaim you're the greatest nation on earth, that's pride right there. So you got to be careful. But when I visited the Middle East and I went to a Muslim country, which was Jordan, and I spent time in Israel, which is obviously Israeli, it's like, I met normal people and they were all nice and all good. Right. And I'm like, there's got to be corruption in all levels, just like we cry about here in America. And they're being deceived as well. And so generally speaking, the people of the Middle East, regardless of creed, would probably like me because they did when I was there for 3 weeks. It was like they're decent people with families.
Right.
But because of religious persuasion and patriotism,
and because,
they get misled like we do.
And there's all kinds of levels within each sect, too. Like if you go back to the military song, The Shores of Tripoli, okay, and you look at the Barbary Coast and you look at the situation that we were facing back then, Thomas Jefferson, you know, why he felt the way he did. There's a huge dialogue there. And maybe we'll cover this next week, you know, why they sing that in the song and what that actually means and that battle alone. Because I think that I personally have some concerns over people that do not think like I do, right, in the form of Christianity, okay, that are very much against how I believe or could be. And there are certain sects that are raised to be more violent than others, okay? You can't brushstroke it in a broad sense by any means. Nobody. You can't do that with anybody. But I think where we go wrong is that I do have concerns about that because I want to preserve what this country was founded on and why.
Sure. Yeah.
And at the same time, so I want to protect that, okay, from outside forces and outside religions that will soon outnumber everybody else. At the same time, I can understand what you're saying, too, and that there are good people. So we have to be able to look through the glass of cognitive dissonance and say what is truly going on in the Middle East. Do we have a place in it? Who is actually assaulting who? And maybe it's not one answer. Maybe there's several answers. I'm not sure. But
that's
why
I have a higher power because I'm like LGBTQ. I have these fundamental Christian beliefs, but I have these people in my community. What do I do? Islam versus Christianity and Judaism. It's like, what is the right?
I can understand the concern.
Foreign policy. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you find a middle line? How do I live in this seems complicated world? Mm-hmm. And I tell you, on the ground, day to day, I tend to not have many issues with people. And so when we talk about foreign policy, you're talking the world.
Right.
And you're talking a government that you find fundamentally dishonest and full of some wicked characters like Kissinger, I would never be a fan of.
No.
So it's like, who am I supposed to believe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apply those Christian principles that you live on the ground to foreign policy and get on your knees and ask God to give you some insights because you've got to know there are a lot of self-interested parties that will lead you astray.
Look at what Kissinger just said. A war would be good for us right now. Good for who? Good for our men and women that we send over there blindly?
Absolutely not.
And so he's saying a war would be good for us. Ask yourself who that us is in that group. And I again, separate the political government and agencies that work within that government and then separate the people and the religion from it. Because I think that if we don't start doing that, you can't get any honest answers in this equation of the Middle East. And the Middle East is going to come up again and again, and we are driving into a huge war. And if we don't see that right now, we're in trouble if we're not seeing this happen again. We've been through this before.
Right.
We've demonstrated coups. We've taken over countries. Why? Because of the position of where Iran is. Is that what we're after? Do we want the resources there? It's what we wanted in Syria. We wanted the pipeline.
Oil. It's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We are an oil rich country with shale and with natural oil. It's like, are you kidding me? We need the Middle East. Well, yeah, we need them for certain powers that are in place to manipulate and get us afraid of the Middle East and keep us fighting over there. But if we were self-reliant, we wouldn't need the oil over there. And then what would happen?
Right.
If we had our government pull out all of its influence and money and forces, what would happen? Israel would have to defend itself, like probably on a regional scale. They would they would go to war. But if Christians believe God's with Israel, then He would help them, like we believe He has.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to take a stand.
Right.
But we wouldn't be there and giving money to both them and their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Egypt was getting $2.5 billion a year, and they were one of the biggest enemies of Israel. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
We'll take a caller. 888-673-1450. Go ahead, caller.
And one of the dangers of having a standing army like we do is that you train and you get these guys all revved up for war. And if you don't have one, what do they do with all that energy and training?
Yeah.
It automatically dictates that you have to, because you have to have a pressure relief of all that built up pressure.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Thank you. Thanks for that. You know, I think that we need to look a lot more clearly and be able to have discussions without throwing in the word anti-Semitic. But we need to be able to separate and take to task what is actually going on. Think about all the articles you've read in the last several decades, okay? And think about the bend on those articles. What have they wanted you to believe? Because I could go through the last 70 years and say that we have been sold a box of rocks on all of those kinds of foreign policy issues, just like this document on Kissinger. Did you see that in the press? No. So what they do is they go and they put out a bend on all the articles. Hate this group, like this group. This group's always being harmed. This group isn't. This group. And I get that Israel is surrounded by people that feel much differently than them, but I also want the truth on the ground. This is why I always have journalists that are on the ground going, well, the press said this, but that isn't what I saw. That isn't what I saw.
How do you know that it wouldn't dissipate and that the Jews and the Muslims would and the Palestinians, Israelites would learn to live together?
Yeah,
how do you know
now?
If you're not funneling billions of dollars into something, that's a wildfire. So to me, it's like, And I think the caller made a good point. Men need to fight. Men have that fighting spirit. They need to slay the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, the U.S. military, there are a lot of heroes there, but that's the logos of the masculine, where the masculine requires us to fight a battle. Well, to me, the U.S. military has become logos misused. It's not that men need to fight that's wrong, because that's the way God made us.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus Christ, the perfect man, came to earth and fought a battle against the powers that be. We need that, but we do need to use our logos or our male energy towards building instead of destroying. Like, here's a Kissinger who is a man that wants to fight, but his logos is being used to destroy.
There are righteous battles,
yeah.
And then there are
battles.
Not. So then how do you find out what kind of battle war is being waged?
The spirit.
And for what reason? Yeah. And so that's why I always love your take, Thomas. This is why I like having Thomas on the show, is because he always comes at it from the more religious point of view, which I love. And I think that we need more of that in today's society. We have been taught to exclude that from conversation. And I don't think that's okay. I don't think it's right. I think that we are a people over here that have always stood for something. We're a people that were formed on certain values and morals, and I think we need to stand up for those things. That's why I love it when you just talk so plainly. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah, we got to stop worrying about our blue check marks on Twitter and just say what we really feel in the public square.
Oh, geez, I know. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy, the parties. They've gone
free speech.
Anyway, yes, and cognitive dissonance is at a height right now. We gotta work through that. And of course, I support the Israel people. I really do. It's the government I have some issues with. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. It's just a